All right, our agenda is here. Marcus had one addition to the agenda, which I think we should put up as the first item because it affects the syntax. And then all the other agenda items are, well, the next one, issue 84, the first one up on the original agenda, it might also affect the syntax, but everything else seems to be API related. Any updates or changes to the agenda before we move on? Okay, so first up is issue 95, remove graph from the spec. Actually, before we get to that topic, I was speaking with some Drupal folks the other day, and they're looking at JSON-LD as a mechanism to implement the web services stuff for Drupal. So that's pretty cool, considering we're nowhere even, considering we're not even an official W3C, spec yet, they're already looking at integrating it into Drupal 8.
Cool. Is this for the minutes?
Yes. Yeah. I've had some. I mean, they're just openly looking at it and discussing it. It's been mentioned on the mailing list.
Yeah. There was some other information you had mentioned about from, was it Google, their schema? I forget exactly what it was.
No, I haven't had anything from those folks on interest in JSON-LD.
There was something you mentioned in the last couple of weeks.
I think you said you got some review from Oracle.
Yeah, it was from it was review from Oracle. Review from someone else at W3C, which I still have not forwarded onto the list. I'll try and remember to do that this week. But it's been difficult trying to keep up with my email. Okay, so issue 95, removing graph, the graph keyword from the spec. And this is Marcus. You raised this issue.
Yeah.
And the argument here is that graph is pretty much synonymous with set, or it's kind of you get the same thing if you just use set instead of graph. So the question Marcus is raising here is, do we really need graph? Is that correct, Marcus?
Yeah, at least graph in its current form without supporting named graphs or all the other stuff.
Okay.
The way we use it now, it's a complete copy of that set. It doesn't provide any other advantages.
Mm-hmm. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think we could do that, but I'm thinking if we intend to go towards named graphs, it would be great to have some syntactic element in place to do that. There's also an issue that's come up with regards to framing as to whether the result set is an array of objects or something that might use the graph syntax. And part of that comes down to if always wanting to have an array representation. That could possibly be done if we did a container coercion of graph to set, which would mean you would not collapse a graph. And I think for framing results, that would have the advantage of allowing you to extract the context, but still give you an array of results. And it could be useful in other cases, for instance, when doing compaction. If you coerced a graph to set, then you would not collapse you would have an object representation with a single property of graph and then always an array of objects in there. So that might be something that was useful.
Mm-hmm. So that's an argument to keep graph, or?
I think those are two arguments to keep graph. One is it's forward-looking. Right now, basically, the semantics are if you have an object that all it contains is a graph property, then when you're compacting, you can replace that whole object with the content of the graph. And that's very similar to set, I agree. However, if we want to add, and I believe we will, add support for named graphs, then you could have an object that contained an ID and a graph, and potentially, of course, a context, and then it would take on those added semantics. And I think that's something that we're going to want to support. So by removing graph now, we're basically going to have to reintroduce it once we got to that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. The graph has two purposes right now, right? So one of the purposes is that we thought that the use of ID in an array was somewhat confusing to authors, and so graph is a little more explicit on what's happening there. And then, like Greg said, the reason we introduce graph is because we believe that named graphs are inevitable. It's inevitable that JSON-LD is going to have to support it, and we're putting this in here not temporarily. We're putting it into the spec so that we can experiment with the right way. Like, do we pair ID with graph at the same level, and then say that if there's an ID and a graph at the same level, then the ID applies to the graph? The graph's name, effectively. The other thing that graph has is kind of it makes it more explicit when you're doing something like a digital signature. So if you have a signature, that signature applies to the graph. Whereas if you had set, you could say that a signature applies to a set, but it's a little the terminology becomes a bit more confusing. The other thing that I kind of want to add to this is that we have now seen multiple people confuse at type when it's applied to an object and at type when it's applied to a literal, right? And so I think that when we made the decision for, you know, basically making at data type, removing at data type and using at type, one of the concerns was that people would confuse the two, right, and how you use them. And I'm afraid that we've seen people actually confuse it. I don't think the confusion has been so bad that, you know, once it was pointed out to the people, they understood what was going on. But I think that this removal of graph and replacement with set could be another one of those instances where people get confused between when they should use, you know, set and when they shouldn't. Also keep in mind that the whole reason we introduced set, or one of the reasons we introduced set, was to have this analog to at list, and we don't really expect to tell authors to use set in their markup, right? I mean, we talked about the corner cases where we would do certain things when they compacted and expanded if they use set in their markup, but I think the general suggestion we're giving people is don't use set in your markup, only use it in the context. So I think the removal of graph has a number of issues where the benefits of removing it don't outweigh the consequences of the drawbacks of removing it. Marcus, you're on the queue.
The reason why I really came up with that is the way it is currently specified, and that's that it just replaces the object which contains that add graph with the content or the value of that add graph property. So that means you will lose all other properties that are on the same object.
Yeah, I think that needs to be handled by updating the algorithm to say that is only done in the case that graph is the only property within the object.
Yeah, but if we do that, then again we can not make a named graph. If graph can be the only property, it's not a named graph because you can't ID then.
My point was not that it can be the only thing, but that it can only be collapsed away if it is the only thing. Because that way you can provide an ID, and potentially you can provide metadata on the graph as well in an object. And there's some value in doing that when we have named graphs. The algorithm right now does not, you're right, because I was writing it simply. It just says collapse an object containing graph to just the content of graph. But my belief is that it should that collapsing should only be done if graph is the only property.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that's the case, what happens if that if the graph object is not used at the top level but somewhere else? How should that collapsing work then?
If so, again, if it would be very much like set in that case, is if it was used at a lower level as an object that contained only that graph, then you could collapse it very much like you do set. So it does operate in the case where there is nothing else, very much like set, but its purpose is different.
So I guess the other question
redundant
that is
at the moment at least.
Right. At the moment, I think the understanding is that in the future it's certainly not going to be redundant. In fact, we're planning on it not being redundant. Right. So let's say that it's redundant now, and then in the future we decide not to support named graphs. At that point, that's like the worst case scenario. At that point, it is truly redundant, and that sucks. But I don't think any of us believe that we're not going to support named graphs in the near future. Meaning in the next, you know, three to four years.
But even if we are going, there is no problem in introducing a new keyword, but there is always a problem in dropping one as soon as it is in the spec.
That's true, but I don't. I'm more concerned about us adding this other functionality to set.
There is no. You don't have to add any functionality. It works out of the box.
I don't know if we've discussed this, but so now we're saying that a context can live inside of an expanded value.
Context can live in any object.
Right.
Yeah, that's the first key that is processed, and then it's dropped in expansion.
Right.
I have some reflections as well.
Sure, go ahead, Nicholas. I'll scribe for you.
Yes, thank you. The most tricky part here is that the mechanics of set are special insofar as they currently only work in conjunction with the term or the property for which it is the value. As you know, the set basically just means that repeat the property for each value in this array with the same subject. So making set something which can be used at the top level sort of extends the meaning of set, but only at the top level. It would still mean just repeat the property for each value in this array if used further below. Whereas if graph is used further below, it would mean something. It would be a quoted graph. If it is used further, deeper down in the object structure, it would create a triple to it. Currently, we don't have names for it because we don't allow the combination of graph and ID, but it would reasonably be used as a B node if you were to interpret that properly. And I don't know if we should allow it at this moment, but there are very different semantics to the way these things would work at both the top level and used as an object of some property.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. My concern is that we're oversimplifying to the detriment of the language. If we say that set and graph are the same thing in this version of JSON-LD. I agree that it's far more difficult to remove something once it's in the spec, but again, I think that the named graph stuff is something we're going to have to do. It's as you know, it makes it makes so many other things much, much more simpler. At least looking from the web payment stuff that we're doing, the way we do digital signatures now is we mix the signature in with the data, which is not good. Ideally, we'd have the signature on the graph. The same thing when you go and you try and name a graph, it would be much easier to say that this is the graph and this is the ID for the graph rather than, you know, here's a set and here's the ID for the set. And what that really means is that it's a named graph. It's awkward to try and explain.
I'm not arguing
that
against named graphs. I'm just arguing to remove @graph till we use it as named graph and not just for having a shortcut instead of that @ID array idiom.
So I guess my concern is that we would be making that decision based on, we would be making that decision now, and in the future it ends up with a more complicated, we end up with a more complicated spec, right? So if we look at both decisions, if we look at let's go ahead and keep graph, and in the future we don't implement named graphs, we have a more complicated specification because we can't remove @graph now from the spec, right? But if we today say that the way that you really express multiple objects is you use @set, and @set has a different behavior when used at the top level versus at a non-top level. And additionally, in the future, we're going to add graph.
It's not really a different behavior. It's just that there is nothing more top level, so you can't relate it to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still different things. So, I mean, that's the problem with trees like JSON and REF. They are different. You can't just say, because it's at the top level, it's handled different.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But don't you don't you think that we would still be saying, in the future, if you want to express multiple objects at the top level, you can use @set or you can use @graph.
Well, if you want to give it an ID as well, so make it a name graph, then you would have to use @graph, and that's quite easy to understand, I would say.
It's a bit more complicated, isn't it, in the future? What I'm saying is today, if we make the decision that you're arguing for, we add complexity now, right?
Well,
and the complexity
let's put it another way. If we have @graph now and we don't create a blank node for those triples, why should we do that in the future then? That would be a spec change. If we use @set now, we don't change anything but introduce that @graph which creates those blank nodes at the top level.
We just would have to define what it means to have an object with @graph and no ID. It doesn't necessarily mean it has an ID, a blank node ID applied to it.
Right.
We can decide that. And again, that's just something for the future.
And I think we'd restrict it and say that in right now the processor would throw. I would say that the processor would throw an exception if it hit graph. A graph key that had any other key other than context in there. That makes sure that people don't start creating documents that, or everything else is ignored. We would probably want to do everything else is ignored if you see @graph, because that would allow people to experiment with graph signatures and naming graphs and things like that.
Okay, another question then. Why can't we just introduce named graphs? What's the reasoning against that, having an
ID
and an @graph?
The RDF working group hasn't quite figured out how to do it yet. That's why. The issue with that is we could introduce that. I think we have a very clear idea of how that would be done. But the concern is that the RDF working group hasn't figured out how to do named graphs yet, and because of that, when JSON-LD goes into the rec process, there's a chance that we could just be tied up for multiple months waiting on them to come up with a solution for named graphs. or we end up implementing something that they end up deciding to go another way on the name graph stuff. It would tie up the spec unnecessarily, and it would delay us from getting JSON-LD out into the public for multiple months, if not a year or two. So that's the concern. It's kind of a process.
And so
concern.
To mitigate that, we are introducing kind of a half-baked feature. It's like add graph without any function.
Well, yeah, we're introducing a placeholder and saying we've thought through how we pretty much think that this stuff is going to go. I don't think there's any other real strong proposal on how we do graph. And then if the RDF working group decides in the way that we think that they are, then we free up graph to do what we think it's going to do. And if they choose something completely different, then we can since graph doesn't really have any that many extra semantics with it right now, then we can probably modify it to match the RDF working group decision.
It might be worth having a little design note putting on the site, not in the spec, but just on the JSON-LD site that describes, you know, some thoughts on support for multiple graphs in JSON-LD.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but if for some reason we can't fit it then to the RDF working group decision, we have to introduce add graph 2?
Potentially, but I don't see how that would happen. I mean, the decision that they'd make would be so wildly different from anything that they've been discussing that we'd have to do that. And
I'm sorry, we're 24 minutes on this, and if we're not ready to either go yay or nay on this, I suggest we put it back on the mailing list for discussion.
Sure, we could do that. I guess what I'm hearing is I'm not hearing a lot of support to remove at graph. I know, Marcus, you feel pretty strongly about this, but I think I feel pretty strongly in the opposite direction. I think we should keep at graph in there. Greg, I don't know what Greg, Nicholas, Dave Lane, what are your thoughts on this?
I think that we should keep them separate. I definitely see Marcus' point of view, but I think that the intricate differences in the semantics, especially the way these things interplay with how they're used in the object position or as standalone entities, is too different to me being comfortable with merging them today.
Mm-hmm.
But just to make sure that we are on the same page, you can use @set nevertheless at the same position and it will result in exactly the same expanded object. The result, if we leave @graph in there and you use set instead, it will result in exactly the same data.
I think it would. But that's because we added the @set use within the data was added in order to be symmetric with list, and therefore it has that effect, which is what makes it even possible to consider doing this. So I think it's consistent to say that if you have a graph that's represented with an object containing only @set, that at the end of compaction, that will be removed away to just the contents of the @set.
Yeah, that's what happens now, and so the result will be exactly the same at @graph. The only difference is that in compaction, the result will contain @graph instead of @set. That's the only change in the algorithm.
Well, after compaction, it wouldn't contain either unless there's a top-level context. So.
I mean, if there are multiple objects returned and there's a top-level context, of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't have any problem with the fact that they both have the same result because the semantics are different. It's just that the current interpretation causes them to have the same result. But if we were to add support for named graphs, then it would be, the difference would be that @graph would be explicitly in the default context.
Yeah, I know what it would be, but it isn't at the moment, and that's my problem.
Yeah, I know. I just don't. But I think we firmly believe it will get there.
Mm-hmm.
And
So why
just because we haven't wanted to spend time on it, there's a whole raft of issues we haven't had to spend, we haven't been able to spend time on yet. And if we just go removing things because we haven't gotten to the point of being able to spend time on those issues, we'd be introducing that much more change in the syntax spec.
Yeah. I think also that currently at the graph at the top level really means this is the default graph. It's just that we don't have named graphs, so we don't have any other kind of graph. But if someone uses set at the top level, it's much... It really looks like someone is trying to use that as the value of a property. It's just that there is nothing there. So technically it gets parsed the same way, but it conveys something else intentionally, which is void in this specific case.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, well, Greg's put a proposal in RC. So I think we've discussed this enough to at least understand what we're doing here. I think, Marcus, I do think that you have your concerns are valid. I just don't. I just think that the other concerns here are, outweigh those, at least personally.
Yeah, okay. Fine for me.
Okay. All right. Thanks. All right, next up is issue 84, probing of unlinked. Actually, hold on, let me.
I got it.
Okay, thanks, Greg. Next up is issue 84, probing of unlinked objects. This is something that Nicholas has raised. So the idea here is that we are trying to, or this issue is trying to explore how we make the JSON-LD processor continue to process and search for data, JSON-LD data, in terms that don't necessarily have a definition. So basically the term is defined as being null, but you could say that the container is a set or it has some kind of other semantics associated with it, and that would end up generating more triples. So it's a way of basically doing deep processing on parts of a JSON structure that aren't don't have kind of direct linkages in the graph. And the main use case for this, I believe, is supporting something like Rev. Nicholas, is that a fair explanation of the issue? Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. So Nicholas, the one question I have on this is, Are we putting this in to support Rev, or are we putting this in because we see other use cases that it could potentially support? Because I can't think of any other use case that would be other than, you know, there's some JSON-LD data kind of hidden deep inside this graph. Go and find it. So the two use cases are one, support for Rev, and two, basically you want to be able to dive deeply into a JSON structure to try and extract as much JSON-LD as possible.
Yeah. It's definitely true that I proposed this as a way of using the structure I've been using Rev for and keeping all the data. So from my point of view, it's certainly the former, that is to support things. Well, it's not to support Rev specifically, because to actually support the semantics of Rev would go further. This is just a way to preserve all the data in the shape that I would end up with if I used my own mechanics for Rev. And the sure, there might be other use cases, but those are pretty much strawmen from my point of view, the ones I've proposed there. Like, you might imagine that you have some long property path down to the organization responsible for a specific document, for instance, and you wanted some triples about that organization to be conveyed, and perhaps the entire property path be represented somewhere else, but you want easy access to this from another part of the structure. But that's really stretching it. I grant that. It's a pretty made up argument. I haven't actually come across the need for it myself. Go ahead.
Greg?
Yeah, I think that we really need to seriously consider things that allow people to reuse the structure of their existing data, or just the existing data that takes on new meaning when a context is applied. So this is a really good way of doing that, I think. I think we need to clarify where we are on unmapped properties, whether they are preserved or removed. I think that we might have something else open regarding that. But in this case, it's specifically saying that it has a null URI and therefore can unambiguously means that it's to be processed.
So the one concern I have here is, well, multiple concerns. One of them is if we want support for, if the reason that we're putting this in is because of rev, then we should probably just put in a rev feature, right? So this seems like a kind of a roundabout way of getting support for rev. And if that's truly what we're trying to do, then we should just focus on that as a feature and not have this kind of pseudo feature that just so happens to support rev. I agree, Greg, that it would be nice to provide as many features to make those that are transforming their old JSON into JSON-LD. But I also think that we should wait until those people, and by people I mean more than just the people on this call, but people in general say, hey, it would be really nice for me to, you know, probe all of this deep JSON data that I have. I'm concerned that we're starting to, this is an example of a feature that we're adding thinking that there are these people out there that are taking their old JSON and their old very complex JSON and migrating it to JSON-LD. But I think that most of the people that at least I've been speaking with have been talking about JSON-LD as we're creating a new system and it's going to use JSON-LD. I haven't come across very many of the, we have this old legacy system that we want to retrofit and use JSON-LD, and therefore, you know, a feature like the one that's being proposed right now is useful to us. So I think all of us can see a use case where this would be useful. I'm not sure that the people with that use case exist in large quantities, right? I know Nicholas, you're currently using something like this, but I'm wondering, I guess, why you don't just implement at rev in your processor, and or express it in the different ways that Marcus outlined in the issue. Go ahead, Nicholas.
Yeah, I actually do support at rev in my processor, although currently it is another kind of structure on it. It just tacks on at rev as a keyword, and then it has an object where the keys are terms, direct terms. So in the example, I have no is referenced by. I have at rev and then references, and the value is at least which represents things which use references in the opposite direction. When we were discussing other things, we discussed the probing, and there seemed to be interest in that, which was why I formulated this proposal. And also considered that if this was interesting, I would change my own use of Rev to this shape. But I would prefer support for at Rev if there is interest in that. It didn't seem to have much support earlier when we discussed it on the mailing list. But things might have changed. Use cases for you others might have popped up supporting it. So we might want to discuss that specifically, absolutely.
So I don't think things have changed with a desire for at Rev. I think I don't think that that there is a stronger need for at Rev right now than there has been. I do agree that it would be a useful thing to have if enough people step forward with the use case that they need at Rev. But to me, it seems like people have been figuring out how to get along without it by kind of changing their data. And the other kind of point to underscore that is that most JSON structures don't have these reverse relationships, at least not the data that we're used to working with from the various web services out there. So I don't think that there has been a stronger desire for at Rev, and I don't necessarily think that the people that need this deep probing of the unlinked data have been very forthcoming on the mailing list, or at least in my private discussions with folks. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
So in support for the Rev is given, what should we call it, a subject-oriented service which has one document for each important resource it exposes. This is a very nice shape for the data, because the alternatives, as Marcus also outlined in the discussion for this topic, is to either use graph and multiple objects at the top level. Actually, that's the one that works right now, and that makes it harder to consume. So the primary use case is that we don't. If you look at certain web frameworks like Django or Ruby on Rails, who expose JSON in API-specific uses, they often contain the object and things related in some way to the object. And many of these ORM systems do have reverse mechanics in place. So I certainly believe that if you expose something, relevant things related to that will definitely not always be in the form of things linked to by that object, but in many cases things linking to that object, such as the publisher or the creator of a document.
But and you could always mint a new property for that, couldn't you?
No, I can't always do that, because if I want to expose the data I have in the RDF for that, I would have to change my data. This way, I just say that, because most of the time in RDF, you don't want to litter your core data with things. You can infer things all the way, in any way you want, but there aren't always terms defined for reverse relations. For Dublin Core Creator and Dublin Core Publisher, for instance, and the data is often given so that you have a document which links to the publisher. And if you use a graph API and work with the RDF directly, you have no problem traversing the properties in any direction. But in this case, when I want to expose the JSON for someone who is not graph savvy, I just want them to easily be able to navigate to the relevant part of the data. And this is exactly the scenario I've had in the legal information system.
Have you thought about introducing a rule regime on top of this that would allow you to take a property and have associated with it a rule that creates the inverse of that?
Yes, I have. First off, there are many complex things that I could add, but I want to keep the things simple as far as possible. And second, I don't have to do that if the people consuming the data understand RDF, because then they can traverse the link relations in any direction. So there is no need to add inverse to reify that reverse relation in any way or make it.
The other thing, of course, is that you can simply use object references, and then if you want to be able to access the data in a different way, just reframe it so that the sense is reversed and you're going in a forward direction to get the data you want.
I don't see how that would work for getting
I suppose an example would be a plaintiff makes a has a some legal document, and a legal document references a plaintiff, but there's a single relationship that defines those two. In some case, you're talking about the document, and you want the document to refer the plaintiffs, and the other way, you want the plaintiffs to refer to the documents without having to introduce new terms. So by reframing, you can either have it be document-centered or plaintiff-centered. And that sort of addresses, I think, a lot of what you want to do.
Well, not really, because I have the document and I have the publisher and I have things that, for instance, invalidate the document. But when you go to the URI for this document, you want that document to be at the top level so you can pick out the title and the number for it and identifier. And then you want to see is it invalidated. And there is. And then I have to have the reverse invalidated by, because that's the easy way to access that object from the current document.
Would that be a separate query, Nicholas, or are you trying to reduce the number of layers? I mean, it seems like you could also solve the problem by having two separate queries based on the type of object that you're retrieving, right?
Yeah, but that won't work, because our consumption service, which is used for making the website upon this system, is designed to make the thinking for them. So that query is embedded in the viewing of the specific document. And also I do this because I need the other way I use this is that I create extremely denormalized records, which I put into Elasticsearch. And by having reverse relations as forward property paths in Elasticsearch, I can make filtering on things like, give me everything that is not invalidated by anything whose valid date is currently in play.
Okay. It sounds like what we're really discussing here are reverse relationships. I'm not convinced that there's a large amount of need for the probing of unlinked objects right now. So I think we should probably shift the discussion into whether or not we really want to support Rev. And I think in order to do that, we need a solid proposal for Rev on the table. Nicholas, since you've been dealing with this the most, I think you might be the best person to write it, or write up something that's some sort of Rev proposal, and it could be just what you're doing, you know, right now. But and again, I still don't think that like if there were like four or five people on the mailing list saying, hey, JSON-LD doesn't work for me because it doesn't have reverse relationships, I think it would be a much different conversation. I think at that point we'd start trying to find or trying to figure out a solution for it. But, you know, unfortunately, since it's just you, it either means that you are trailblazing here and none of us have hit the issue yet, and we are going to, or you, for some whatever reason, have a very unique use case that that many other people aren't going to hit. And I don't know which one it is. But I think having a solid proposal for Rev down would be very helpful. Because if we do hit this, you know, let's say that we look at it and we decide to pass on it right now, what we could do is we could reserve the keyword Rev so that we can put that in later if we really need it. And if we find out that we really need it in the future, then we could have an immediate solution there. Does that seem like a reasonable way forward, Nicholas?
Yes, I can write that, and I see your point. I think that we have had at least one more. I think that it was Antoine Champagne. I'm not sure who it was on the mailing list who was looking for this.
Okay.
And I recall. Yeah, I think that Greg said something about it might have been useful in the RDFA test suite. Do you remember what that was, Greg?
Oh, yeah. Because the URL reports are somewhat backwards from the way that we wanted to specify the data, so I ended up creating relations that went, that were sort of properties that were made up in order to be able to describe those things. But I don't know, it would be simple. I don't know that I could take that and really simply turn it around. It's not that Rev isn't useful. We have Rev in RDFA, and I think it has, I don't know that it's used that much. Turtle, by the way, did not take, there is a similar, it's a as property in from N, is in N3, which is basically a reverse relationship, which is not in Turtle, not in Sparkle either.
No.
So
well, in Sparkle you have property paths and you have the caret keyword, so that's the Rev.
In Sparkle 1.1 you do, that's right. I haven't implemented that, so it doesn't exist in my world.
Right.
There is usefulness in there, and I think the best route we have is to put something out on the mailing list and elicit support. What we're not getting is a wider body of people looking at that, similar to what we had with the RDF Data Task Force, where there's more of a call for use cases, and people from a wider variety of places can chime in. But if there's a way to be able to attract them and bring them into the discussion on the mailing list, we can gather support. I certainly would not be opposed to having Rev in there. I just don't want to spend a lot of time on features that might just make the language more consuming for a narrow audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so let's go ahead and put a proposal down here. I think the proposal is to not put in support for controlled probing of unlinked objects right now. So let's see, proposal, do not support controlled probing of unlinked objects for this version of JSON-LD. All right, so that's resolved. Let's see, next up is how do we deal with IRI conflicts when compacting and expanding? So next topic, let's see, we have 8 minutes left. This is what happened this last time with this issue. So the last time we discussed this, we... we came to a general understanding that I believe we came to a general understanding that basically says that if two IRIs map to, sorry, if two terms map to the same IRI, you would end up combining those values together into an array. And I guess when you're going to coerce something, is this the same issue?
Yes. Well, so you can merge when you're expanding, and I believe the thought was when you are compacting, you might split and take multiple values that, let's say, one value had a data type of integer, another type had a data type of string or was a plain literal, and another was just an IRI. That if you had terms that had rules that more closely fit those representations, that you could then split out into separate definitions when compacting.
Let's see. I was thinking something else, Greg, which was the how do you pick which one to apply. So let's say you have a value and
I think that's what I was trying to describe. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So if you had something that was coerced to integer, something that was just string, another thing that was an IRI or an ID, and you had terms that were defined with those coercions, then you could then split out if there was an int version of the property, then that particular value would be used with that the property that most closely relates to its data type and everything else.
Can you define split out? That term's confusing me.
Okay. So I have example.com/foo as a property.
Uh-huh.
It has three values and JSON LD body. Let's just talk about in the expanded form.
Okay.
And it has three values. It has an array with three values. One is a value with a XSD integer. Another is a value with no data type, and a third is an ID.
Mm-hmm.
I then define three terms, each of which has an IRID of example.org/foo. But one of them has a type of XSD integer, another has no type at all, and a third has a type of ID. When I compact, I would then take those values, which were now expressed in a single array, and I would create three properties, each with a single value, and that value being the one that most closely related to the data type representation.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the compaction? Let's see. Are you talking about automatically
API
generating the context?
No. If I have a context defined that has those three terms,
right,
then when I'm applying that context in compacting, I would use those terms to relate to the data that they most closely relate to.
Okay. Good. Right. That is a subset of the other issues associated, or the other issues here, right? So one of them is what happens when you have, one of the concerns is what happens when you're expanding. You've got a JSON-LD document and you're expanding, and you have two IRIs or two terms that have the same, that map to the same IRI, right? And then the answer to that is you just put them all into a single array where the property is the IRI, and then you have this array of expanded values where some of them might be integers, some of them might be IRIs, et cetera.
Correct.
The other issue is the one that you just brought up, which is when you are compacting, and you have stuff that's very specific, or terms that are very specific, how do you represent that in compacted form? And you're saying that you end up effectively, if you have an array, you have foo and there's an array, you could split that into, when you compact, foo1, foo2, and foo3, where foo1, foo2, and foo3 have definitions in the context, and that's how you do, I guess, that. Have we dealt with, I'm concerned that there's one other issue here, where we have to figure out what, we have to figure out which one of the coercion rules applies. So that's where you have to start doing lexicographical sorting on the properties. So the intent of how IRI conflicts are resolved when compacting and expanding, any conflicts between terms that use the same IRI will use the most specific solution when compacting. So let's say you're compacting foo, colon, and then the string 5. If you have to pick between a term that specifies XSD integer and one that doesn't, let's say the other one specifies a language, you pick the most specific rule, and if that doesn't give you basically you pick the most specific rule, and the way that you pick the most specific rule is the one that has either the largest number, it has the largest number of declarations. So let's say it says this is what the IRI is and this is what the data type is, and if that doesn't give you a solution, you lexicographically compare them and find the least or greatest lexicographical solution.
That works for one, but I think what Greg is asking is how do we do that for multiple values in an array? Do we do that for every entry, or do we do it once for all of them?
I think we'd have to do it for every entry, wouldn't we? Because it's really dependent on I think it's dependent on the data that you have.
I think that the solution, I mean, you can calculate how close the definition is. For instance, you could have something that one that coerces to integer, another coerces to float, but then you have a date time. And so that's where your lexicographic selection, I think, solves that, because they're equally distant. You could have another one, let's say if you had a language in there, you would be less likely, that's further away, because that would require the data to be expressed using more information, say. Mm-hmm. So it is a gnarly issue. Another similarly gnarly issue is when I am combining values on expansion, what is it, the order within arrays doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But, of course, when we're writing tests, it does matter because mm-hmm. arrays comparisons inherently going to be ordered. I've faced that with framing, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is another consideration, perhaps it's not normative, but it's informative. But when I'm combining things together, then I probably want to combine them in lexicographical order.
Yeah, Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, let me see where I was in my mind. I'm trying to backtrack here. I think that, yeah, if you have a term, when you're compacting and you have a term for an integer and one term for a float and no other term for the property, and you find a property where the value is datetime, could we really pick either of them, because they wouldn't really apply? Shouldn't we just not pick any of them and have to resort to the IRI form, the non-compacted form? I'm not sure that we can compact that.
Yeah, you can compact it, but in the compacted representation would have to use a value.
Yeah.
And so I think that is an equally reasonable interpretation, but I think generally we should tend to want to use terms for properties rather than IRIs. Of course, a third possibility would be if you could, if you had the information to mint a query.
So I think Dave Longley ended up implementing. Dave Longley's been down in the depths of it, actually having to implement this stuff, and I think that he does have an algorithm for it. So what we might want to do, since we're at the top of the hour, is just to have him write down what the algorithm is and see if we agree with it, because it is a gnarly issue, and there's a lot of branching in it, because he had to address every single one of the cases. So why don't we do that? We'll have him write up what the algorithm is, and then see if we agree with it, and then if we do, then that's great. Anything else on this issue before we sign off for today? All right. As always, thanks, guys, for the discussion. And we will keep going through these issues until we're done. It might mean that we need another super session to...
I'd suggest we have a super session next week, and if to the degree that we can... we continue to do that until we get this set of open issues down to a reasonable level, and hopefully don't continue to create a lot of new issues.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the sad things is that every time we have a super session, we end up creating half as many issues as we end up resolving. Okay. So next week we'll do a super session and keep doing super sessions until we're done with this stuff. Okay. Anything else? All right. Thanks, guys.
One quick remark. Just I forgot. Pretty nice, I think. My other project. I'm right now split between two projects, and the other one is for the Royal Library of Sweden.
Yep. Cool.
Where, and they are a really nice bunch of people wanting a lot of RDF and stuff, and they actually use this, so I don't have to explain much to them. We're looking at JSON-LD now because we're building a new cataloging service for the individual libraries in Sweden, we're deep into the MARC 21 stuff and things like that, but we're really trying to see the benefits we can have by using JSON-LD and trying to represent things on a more semantically rich level. And so far it's looking pretty good.
Good. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely keep us posted on that. Let us know if there if you come across another need for rev there, then I think that's strong, it's stronger support for adding that something like that in there. But that's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out.
All right, guys. Thanks again. Have a good week.
You too.
Right, thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.